This is acknowledged on the calendar as Mother's Day, so we want to, as already was aforementioned, we want to give honor to whom honor is due. So whether you're sitting next to a mother or not, this is what I want you to do this morning. We'll take our seat. Just give the person next to you a high five and say, Happy Mother's Day. If it's not for you, tell somebody else. Amen. As you take your seat this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody gave a man high five. He said, wait a minute now. You can tell somebody else, brother. It's all good. We know what time it is. Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God, to all the mothers today. We do celebrate you. And, I'm not against days that are set aside to honor, and neither are you. But really, every day we should honor our mothers. Every day we should honor our mothers. We thank God for how this day came to be in the natural. Ms. Corey, you touched on that yesterday. It was Ann Jarvis, and her mother was dear to her heart. Ann never had children of her own, but she wanted to acknowledge her mother. And she went through a whole lot to get it passed through the Congress, and Woodrow Wilson made it a national holiday that every second Sunday of May, we would take a time to honor our mothers. So we thank God that they just didn't appear on the calendar. And you know how we do in America, people try to commercialize any and everything. And Hallmark got a hold of that, man, and they went to marketing, and Sister Jarvis said, that's not why we created this. We didn't create this for merchandising. But if you bought your mom a car, look, I'm not mad at you. We I'm not saying we need to honor that, but it's important to understand the genesis of things. A lot of times we participate in things and we never know the history of it. So it's important to know that this day for America became a national holiday under the presidency of Woodrow Wilson. But how many of you know that God taught us to honor mothers way before that was a holiday? Believers over there, and I like to call them the top 10. Amen. In the top 10, number 5 says, honor your mother and your father. Amen. And I believe that's the commandment that comes with the promise, if I'm not mistaken. So even though we celebrate this day today, remember that God has always wanted us to honor our mothers. And I'm not naive. I know some of us in this place today, many women can give birth, but not all can be mothers. And some of you, unfortunately, have grown up in that situation. But I tell you what, if you still honor your mother, even in spite of, God is pleased. So somebody give them a praise. Amen. We're about pleasing God in this place. We're about pleasing God in this place. So we thank you for being here today. My gift to the mothers today is I'm not going to be long. Amen. I'm not going to be long today. That's my gift to all our mothers. I certainly acknowledge my mom who's here today. I take time to do that. And I thank God for Dr. J who gave birth to this big old boy. So I appreciate that. Thank you. And obviously to the mother of my children, Laura, we thank God for her and just for who she is in the Lord. Thank God for women in your life who raise you, whether it was your grandmother. We want to give God praise for them. Today, I want to talk with you about mothers who gave it all to God. Mothers who gave it all to God. And when we think about mothers, you know, I think about the progression of our ages as we become older and our mothers get older. And I thought this was fitting because many of us at age 4, we said, my mommy can do anything. I don't know if you can remember back that far, but at age 4, if you look at a 4-year-old right now, they'll say, you know what? My mommy can do anything. And then you get around age 8, you say, my mom knows a whole lot. My mom sure enough knows a whole lot. Then you get around age 12 and you begin to say, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. Then we graduate to age 14, and naturally, mother doesn't know that either. We get to age 16, and we say, mother, she's hopeless. She's old-fashioned. We get around age 18, and we says, that old woman, she's just stuck in her ways. Y'all find yourself in this now. Then we get to age 25 and we say, well, she might know a little bit. And we get to age 35 and we say, you know, before we make this decision, we need to ask mother. And then as we get in years, age 45, 55 and beyond, we say, I wonder what mother would have said. Mothers hold a special place in our hearts. Somebody said that a child is carried in his mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody doesn't know what they're talking about because a child is carried in a mom's heart forever. Somebody said it takes 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you had a baby and you become a mother, nothing's ever normal again. Somebody said, you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a 3-year-old shopping. And then somebody said, being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car with a teenager who was getting their permit. It's not boring. Man, we thank God for mothers. Without mothers, we would not be here even right now. And a mother carried us for how many ever months or the time period that they carried us and they gave birth to us. God thought it so fitting that even the Lord Jesus did not come into the world from a natural aspect except through a mother. Isn't that incredible that God, when we say God loved the world, that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We sometimes forget that God blessed Mary's womb to bring forth the God man. And Jesus, who wanted to identify with everything that we go through, he was born of a woman. Isn't that incredible? That God would send forth his son by a woman. And he did that through Mary. So all of us here today, we were born of women. What I love about mothers is when times are hard and there's an opportunity to run away from God, what a godly mother does is she runs towards God. She doesn't run away from God. Anybody ever had any godly mothers or grandmothers? And when times got hard, you didn't see them running away from God, but they ran closer to God. They ran to the prayer room and they began to usher up prayers before the Lord when times were hard. Thank God for godly mothers. See, today I want to talk with you about mothers who just gave it all to God. And if you're a mother here today and you're experiencing any type of situation, what I want to teach you today is just give it all to God. Look at your neighbor and say, just give it all to God. We got to learn to give it all to God. Now, we could have dissected this Bible and talked about a multitude of mothers, but in the issuance of time, I drilled it down to just two mothers, and that was a very difficult challenge. But there are two mothers, and these two mothers possessed the attribute that many mothers possess, and I dare even think where we would be if we did not have mothers, number one, who were faithful. And then secondarily, we did not have mothers who were prayerful, mothers who were faithful and mothers who were prayerful. Somebody give God praise for mothers who were faithful. They didn't give up on us and they prayed. Amen. While we were out doing, well, let me just make it plain. While I was out doing any kind of thing I wanted to do, somebody was praying. Amen. I know y'all ain't never done nothing, but I'll drill it down to me. Amen. I can be transparent. But thank God for praying mothers. Where would we be if the mother wasn't praying behind the scenes. Do y'all ever think about that? Do y'all believe prayer works? Amen. I can tell you it works because we're here today in the name of Jesus because we had a praying mother. When I think about a praying mother and a mother who gave it all to God, I think about Jehochabed. And for those of you who don't know, Jehochabed was Moses's mother. Her name is Jehochabed, and she was instrumental in the use of God in terms of what he wanted to do. Now, if you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to know about Jehochabed is Jehochabed was a mother who gave it all to God by faith. She gave it all to God by faith. There are many conditions that troubled this new king now that Joseph was passed. In other words, there was a king, the Bible tells us, that did not know Joseph. Remember, the Israelites were supernaturally delivered out of slavery, out of 430 years of slavery. And as you follow the timeline of Israel, it was Joseph. Amen. He was the one who would be used of God to provide food for them in a barren time. And we transition into the book of Exodus, and it begins to tell us that there was a king or a pharaoh who did not know Joseph. In other words, he didn't know the God of Joseph. Amen. And when you got somebody in leadership who does not know God, times are going to be challenging. All right. Can somebody say amen? All right. So we got these Israelites who are now multiplying. The Bible tells us that they're growing in number. And this Pharaoh is fearful of the people because he sees them multiplying. And he's concerned that they will one day come together so that they can overthrow Pharaoh. So Pharaoh comes up with a plan. He says, you know what? We need to begin to enslave these people. In other words, we need to go ahead before they multiply, before they overthrow our reign. We need to begin to enslave them. We need to begin to make conditions hard for them. We need to let them know who's really in charge. And there began a system of slavery. All right. Now, this is what we call chattel slavery, where there's a slave and there's no profit to the people that's participating as slaves. OK, you know, in the Bible, there were some types of slavery where people could buy their slave, to buy their freedom. But this type of slavery, it was all about the man in charge. It was all about the Pharaoh. So he enslaved the people and they made bricks. Amen. Out of straw. Sometimes they wouldn't give them straw to make bricks, but they would make mortar and straw. They would take everything they had and they would make bricks, and they would fall under the plan of Pharaoh. So in this time, this is what you have. But guess what? Even under those conditions, the people began to still multiply. See, God's promise when he created Adam and Eve, he gave them the instruction to be fruitful and to multiply. And what the enemy knows, watch this now, because we see it all throughout scripture, is he wants to get rid of the man. Anything that he can do to get rid of the man, he deems himself successful. You remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember once Herod found out that he had been tricked by the wise men and that they were going to worship this king. And he said he wanted to worship this king, too. When you find him, come back and let me know where he is. He wasn't trying to worship the king. He wanted to kill the king because he wanted to remain in charge in the land. Man, the depths that man will go to get rid of a man. It's incredible. And we see that today. But man, thank God for faithful mothers. So when that didn't work, the Pharaoh, I'm back in Exodus now, he goes to the midwives. In fact, the Bible mentions two midwives, Shapporah and Porah, and these women were like head nurses. They were in charge of helping the Hebrew women give birth. And the Pharaoh was so upset about all this multiplication that he goes to his head nurses and he says, look, whatever you do, when a male is born, take the male and throw them in the Nile River. All right. In other words, I want all males extinct. When a female is born, you take her and you don't kill her, but you bring her into the fold. But for every male that's born, it's in your Bible, take them and throw them in the Nile River. In other words, I want you to throw them in the crocodile infested Nile River. I want them to drown. I don't want them to see the light of day, because y'all ain't dying. Y'all are multiplying. He said, I got to get rid of this problem. My lineage is being challenged. My authority is being challenged, because if it's too many of y'all, y'all are going to overthrow me. But those ladies, man, were obedient to God rather than the system that they were a part of. Man, you know, how do you know you're really with God when you can begin to do what God says, even though what the government may be saying is totally opposite of what God says? That's when you know you're on God's side. I mean, it's easy to say it, but when the pressure is on, what are you going to do when God says, I want you to do this? And those women were faithful, and God, the Bible tells us that he blessed them, and they continued to be blessed. But that didn't change the situation for Jochebed, because Jochebed had given birth to a child. And this child, the Bible tells us that she hid him for a period of 3 months. You see, the problem is in the last verse in the book of Exodus, chapter 1. In Exodus, chapter 1, verse 22, it says, the Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep. Well, wait a minute. I got a baby now, and that's the mandate that's given through the land? Well, guess what she does? She goes and she hides that child. Thank God for mothers who hide their children. She hid that child for a period of 3 months. Now, I want to clarify this, because not only are mothers, when they operate in faith, one of the attributes of faith is mothers are courageous. Okay? They're courageous, courageous mothers. Many of us, when we read this story of Jochebed and how she dealt with Moses, we probably think that she operated in fear of the Pharaoh and what was going to happen to Moses. I beg to differ. Amen. When you go to the book, for example, you can put this in your margin, but in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 23, it shows us Moses' mother's attitude as it related to the conditions of the land. Watch this now. In Hebrews, chapter 11, that's the faith chapter. That's where we learn about the people of faith. The Bible says, by faith. By what? I can't hear you. By what? By faith. Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. All right. His parents, book of Exodus, chapter 6, verse 20, Amram and Jochebed, that's where Moses' parents are named. They were not afraid of the king. Do y'all see that? They said, man, we're not moving because we're afraid of the king. We're moving because we understand that our God will protect our child even in the midst of what's going on. Mothers, do you trust the God today, even though we're being raised in a world that has gone crazy? Do you trust the God who is the God of gods to protect and to overlook your children, even in the midst of chaos? Man, Jochebed did. She said, ain't no way I'm finna be obedient to this crazy Pharaoh and throw my child in the Nile River. I'm not finna obey him. And I thank God for her courageousness, and I thank God for her faithfulness. God had this beautifully planned for the deliverance of both Moses and eventually for the people of Israel. God, he skillfully guided the parents of Moses. He guided the currents of the Nile River. He guided, watch this now, we're going to talk about this, but he guided the heart of Pharaoh's daughter to further his plan and purpose. When we go to Exodus chapter 2, man, it lays it out so beautifully. Watch what it says here in Exodus chapter 2, because Jochebed was used of God, and she was a great woman of faith. Somebody say faith. Faith, faith. We thank God for mothers who operate in faith. When you come down to verse 3, it says, but she could hide him no longer. You ever tried to hide a 3-month-old? Amen. Maybe in your own home. Just y'all go back there to the back. I'm trying to get some rest. That ain't going to work. Not even in your own house. That 3-month-old is going to eventually cry. Want some attention. All right. Somebody say, I know some 40-year-olds like that. I'm not talking about 40-year-olds right now. Amen. You 40-year-old and still at home, we need to talk, all right? All right, God bless you. We can talk. We can talk after church, but she could hide him no longer, verse 3. She got him, watch this, a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set among the reeds by the bank of the Nile River. So she said, you know what? He did say put him in the Nile. I'm going to put him in the Nile, all right, but I'm going to make a basket, and I'm going to make this this basket, and I'm going to make this ark, and I'm going to place my baby in this ark, and I'm going to put him in the Nile. But I'm not doing this based on solely on his instruction. I believe that she was also a woman who believed God, because no woman who is a woman that's in her right mind would not put her child in the Nile River to flow down it. So she obviously had to been praying to God. How many of you know that God will sometimes give you an uncommon instruction that doesn't make sense to anybody else, but I'm not worried about anybody else. I got to go with God. And I'm talking to some mothers right now that you've been through some situations where you had to make a decision about your own child, regardless of what everybody else was saying about him or her. I know what y'all see, but I gave birth to him. I know what y'all see, but I live with him. We have to begin to trust God. That's what Jehochabed did. She put that child in the Nile River and watched the plan of God begin to manifest. Verse 4 says, his sister, remember Miriam? See, Moses was the youngest. He had an older brother and older sister, Aaron and Miriam. And his sister stood at a distance to out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh, just at this particular time, look at the sovereignty of our God. He's orchestrating this in such a way where the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe where? At the Nile with her maidens walking all along the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid and she brought it to her. Watch this now. When she opened it, very important. So not only did she see it, but she opened it. She saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him. Watch what she said. This is one of the Hebrews' children. So Pharaoh's daughter, her heart was open enough. When she heard the cry of the baby, it moved something inside of her. I don't know, and mothers, you have to help me on this, but even though you hear a cry from a child that's not your child, does it move your heart? It should move your heart. If the heart of God is inside of you and you hear a cry from a child who needs help, whatever they call it, the world says motherly instinct. That's the instinct that God placed inside of you to be a mother. It quickens you and it awakens you to something. And this was what's happening with Pharaoh's daughter. She says, wait a minute, this is one of the Hebrew children that my daddy said we need to throw in the Nile River. And how do you react? Watch this, man. I love this, because then notice how God has orchestrated this thing. The baby's crying. This is one of the Hebrews. Then his sister, verse 7, said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? Man, this is beautiful. Miriam is walking on the side of the Nile River, watching the basket flow down all the way until it gets in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. And right when she picks it up, her heart is open. She's receptive. Miriam yells out, "Hey, you want me to get somebody to take care of this baby for you?" God is bad, man. And the lady said, "Sure." Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. See, man, when it, I say this often, but we need to understand this. When you're down to nothing, you got to understand that God is up to something. When it looked like it's not going to work, when everybody's being persecuted and things, and it looks like it's coming towards you, you got to begin to pause long enough to say, "God, wait a minute. I know you ain't brought me this far. I know you ain't created all this stuff to happen, Lord God, so that I can be taken under. God, when I'm down, when I'm feeling down to nothing, I got to recognize that you're up to something." And God was up to something big. The girl goes back and gets her mama. She goes back and gets Jehochabed and say, "Hey, you've been hired. You got a job now." She said, "Wait a minute, I ain't have a job before. You got a job now because you released your faith, and not only did it save your child, but it also created an opportunity for you to be a caregiver for your child." Man, God is awesome. So she got on the Egyptian payroll, y'all. She said, you gonna pay me to take care of my own child and nurse him? Are you kidding me? God is an awesome God. But watch this now. Not only was she on the Egyptian payroll, but in the formative years of her son, she was able to impart the wisdom of God into him, and it stuck with him his whole life. What are we teaching our kids in their formative years? See, you can't wait till they get 17. I'm going to start. No, you didn't wait it too late now. Or you're going to have to start early. Amen. Train up a child in the what? In the way they should go. And when they become old, they will not depart from it. But if we wait, oh man, if we wait. And I think that's what's happening today is we're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting. And we hand over the reins to the world and we say, "You take it and you raise them because I'm too busy." And before we know it, we've created something that God never intended to happen. But verse 9 says, "Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages.'" I'm going to put you on the benefit plan, lady. So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Jehochabed operated in faith. Somebody say faith. Faith. I told you there were two things that we thank God our mothers continue to operate in. Number one was faith. The second thing is prayer. Thank God for praying mothers. Man, I can't wait to get to heaven and watch press the rewind button and say, "Oh, that's why that did not happen." Because and God will show a picture of grandmamas and mamas on their knees praying for their kids. And we can say hallelujah now. But sure enough, when we see it, we're going to be able to say, "God, thank you for that. Mom, thank you for praying. Grandma, thank you for praying, because I was headed down the wrong path." And we thought it was an accident. No, it wasn't no accident. It was the angelic beings interceding and coming in the way to get in the way of what we were about to do, which was to destroy ourselves. Do y'all understand? There's an invisible world right now. Amen. There's stuff going on in the invisible realm that we can't see. And it has wanted to impact us to the degree where it wanted to take our lives. But prayer changes things. For our second example, and I'm almost done. Told you I wasn't going to be long, as a gift to our mothers today. Amen. Now, if y'all say, "Go ahead, Pastor, go ahead," I'm going to keep going. But no. But for our second example, we need to go to the book of Samuel, because the very familiar passage of scripture as it relates to a woman by the name of Hannah. Hannah. And you remember Hannah. And if Jehochabed was a mother who gave it all to God by faith, Hannah was a mother who gave it all to God by prayer. She gave it all to God by prayer. What was the problem? Hannah had many problems. All right. Her husband's heart was divided. Her home, instead of being a place of refuge from trials, was a place of trials. Her husband, watch this now. I need to fix this for the fellas real quick. Her husband had two wives. All right. It trips me out when I come in contact with some people and say, well, I can have two wives just like they had in the Old Testament. And I have to say, I have to step back for a minute. And before I say what I want to say, I have to step back and I say, man, don't you know that even I say God's word is the same yesterday, today and forever. Them men chose to do that. God didn't bless that. God didn't honor that. Concubines and all that. God didn't honor that. Don't try to use that, men, as a justification for you to have some more women. That ain't going to work. Amen. Let God be true and every man be a lie. All right. Don't come to anybody and saying, well, they did it in the Old Testament. No, that's not true. All right. That didn't give you justification to do it. But Elkanah, who was the husband of Peninnah and Hannah, Hannah could not bear children. And it created confusion in the household. In other words, he began to prefer one wife over the other. All right. I like to say, man, it's challenging enough with one and you want two. Are you kidding me? Hey, man, you better learn to love the one you got, man. Praise God. And I mean that in a nice way, y'all. Don't y'all think, well, I don't want to wear late. No, lady, y'all ain't doing nothing but loving on us. So let me clear that up. but the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, watch this now, because she was one who gave it all by prayer. The Bible says because of her situations, because she couldn't bear children, because this other woman was making fun of her, all that was going on, she greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Watch this vow she makes now. Now, vows are to be taken seriously. When you make a vow to God, God is expecting you to carry out that vow. You got to be careful about making a vow to God. Remember, I'm going to say this quickly. Remember in the book of Acts, that married couple made a vow to God that they were going to give to the church. Remember that? They said they're going to give a certain amount to the church, Ananias and Sapphira, and they made a promise to the church and they didn't give it. And the apostle comes to them and he says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. He gave them each time to tell the truth and they did not tell the truth and they dropped dead on the scene. Made a vow to God, but did not keep the vow. Regardless of the consequences, whether we see them or not, one thing you need to know is God is serious about the vow that we make to him. Anybody ever made a vow out of desperation? All right. Anybody ever said, all right, God, thank you for getting me out of this. I promise I'm going to be at church next Sunday now. And God saying, I ain't trying to just get you in church. I'm trying to get you saved. Amen. I'm trying to get you to the point where it's not always a 911 situation where when something happens, now you want me to be your God. He wants to be the God of all, through all, and in all of our lives. Watch this now. So she's crying out and thank God for what she's saying here. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son. Then I will give him to the Lord. Watch this vow. All the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Nazarite vow. Verse 12 says, now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli is the priest, was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Man, she was in anguish. Watch what the priest says. So Eli thought she was drunk. Here's a woman in anguish and pain, and she's praying before the priest, and she's praying in such a fashion where not even the words are coming out of her mouth, but her lips are moving. And the priest looks at her and says, you got to be drunk. Now, she's already dealing with stuff. And now the man of God in her life is accusing her of participating in alcoholic beverages. Then Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. That's what he's saying. Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, watch this. No, no, my Lord. I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Man, I got any mothers in here that have ever been at wit's end where you prayed so hard that you didn't even know what was coming out of your mouth? That you didn't even have the words to utter what to pray because your heart was so grieved with the situation as it related specifically to your child. Man, this is a mother's prayer, and she prayed, and she made a vow to God that if you bless me, Lord, with the son, she was specific. Lord, I'm going to dedicate him back to you. And you know what happened? The Bible tells us that Elkanah knew his wife. That means that they had relations, and she was with child, and she gave birth to Samuel, a powerful man of God. But guess what she did after she gave birth? She raised him up. And the Bible says that she weaned him. In other words, she got him to the point where he could begin to go out on his own. She walked with him long enough, and she wanted to fulfill her vow to God by letting the church have him. She gave him to Eli after he was weaned, and they went up and they made a sacrifice to God. And just as she said, now I imagine this was her firstborn. Y'all know how y'all are about your firstborns, right? Y'all ain't trying to let them do anything. All right. Now, you can be born last, and go ahead, jump off that table. You good. But the firstborn, oh, baby, what you doing? No. But if you're the lastborn, you'll be all right. But something about that firstborn, man, we protect. But here it is, Hannah with her firstborn, and she dedicates him to the Lord. This is where we get baby dedication. This is where we, until that child can make a faith confession of them by themselves, we pray over them and we dedicate them to the Lord until they can make that faith profession by themselves. But that's what happened. And she gave Samuel to the Lord. He went to the temple and he lived and he was raised in the temple. Now, see, the beautiful thing, see, God always has a plan, because what we don't know is the backstory of what was going on while all this was going on. See, in God's own house, there was chaos. Man, y'all need to stop watching reality shows and just read the Bible. In the church, in the place where God dwells, there was two of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And these jokers had the audacity to not only steal from the people, but they were sleeping with the women in the church. And God said, this cannot last in my place. And he dealt with Eli harshly, and Eli eventually paid the consequences for ignoring all that was going on in God's house. And God was raising up another prophet at the same time by the name of Samuel. So God was moving one system out of the way so that he could create another system. What am I telling you? I don't know what it looks like right now, but you got to begin to look beyond what you see and begin to see what God is doing, even in the midst of chaos. God will raise up somebody else who will glorify his name and begin to preach Jesus in the place where it needs to be preached. So Hannah was a mother who gave it all to God by prayer. Man, what happened to Hannah? She dedicated that baby. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26 says, she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. Eli, I'm that woman. When you thought I was drunk, I was the one that was praying to the Lord. And she says, for this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. How long? As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord and he worshiped the Lord there. Isn't that beautiful? Dedicated to the Lord and they worshiped. I always ask, and it seems like I ask around Mother's Day this time, man, have you really dedicated your children to the Lord? Have you really handed it over and said, Lord, you know what? Whether they're here or not, have you let go and said, Lord, you know what? They're in your hands. Lord, while they're in your hands, will you do a work in and through me so that I can be a better believer, but more importantly, a better mother to them, Lord God? And man, God will begin to work in the process, but he cannot work until we let go and let him have them. Some of us are holding on to children that are 60 years old now. And God says, will you please let them go? We're walking around trying to put a bottle in.